Mr. Hodge, Rule 3. So what happened next after Calcutta then? What's the next thing you remember?
We left Calcutta, went down the Ganges. Halfway down India, we called it in a place called Vizagapatam. We loaded stores and all. We didn't have nothing to do. We had one shore leave, and then we was off again down to
Colombo?
Colombo, yeah. That's how we went into Colombo. And we could see the damage that some flying boats had done from the jets. They managed to get across there and sink a couple of ships in the harbour, which we didn't expect. You see a couple of wrecks and all that. We stopped in there because we had shore leave. And that's full of people, Colombo. It was full of people there. There was nothing going on. We just walked around the town, you know. And then we were left there. And we ran to Trincomalee.
That's the naval base.
Naval base, yeah. There's quite a bit of the fleet was in there. There's a few cruisers and battleships in there. We just done gunnery drill and such things out. And all of a sudden we were told to take off again. And away we went to the Maldives, was it? The Maldives, yeah. We anchored out off a small island called Duatoll, wondering what was up, being stuck there, but we had shore leave. Very nice place for swimming and everything. Beautiful beach and the coral reef. I brought some shells home with me. And the next day, I was all called to the quarter deck, and we had lighters come alongside. And camouflage netting, coconut trees, and what have you.
And what was the purpose of that, if you just explained it?
Well, the idea, they found out, it was to disguise our ship, the ship as an island. It's the second time the management had gone through up with the French, and now so we used to put coconut trees up on the forecastle, coconut trees on the quarter deck, and we had to swim out in the sea and pull the coconut netting out, stretch it right out, and it went right over the funnels, right over the ship. The idea was to go in to do a mine lay. We thought it was in Japanese waters, but it turned out it was going to be Burmese waters, Burma coast. The idea was to shoot down there at night time, and as it got towards daylight, we dropped anchor, and we went up, and we had a week up, lifting coconut trees that up and down, and netting. Eventually they said, they were satisfied. But to be sure, my mates and I went up in the aeroplane with them. Catalina came over and took photos of us. But they reckon that a Japanese pilot would see the sharp points, that it wasn't an island. We was too sharp on corners and such like. So with a bit of relief, it was all pulled down the ship back to Mombasa.
How did it look? I mean, it must have looked ludicrous.
Well, we was all under the netting, we wouldn't know what it looked like. it was a coconut, the coconut trees put out each end, and the camouflage going right out for at least 50 foot out from the ship, to drag it all out. Bamboo canes between. We done our best, and we was doing that each day for a week to be quick about it, to be proficient, But it was called off. The Admiral called it off, it wouldn't have it. So off we went to back to Mombasa.
Fire aid, it looks like.
We went to Mombasa, then to Aden.
Right.
I don't know if he's breaking any rules. I think the captain, the buzz got around that anybody who would like to leave the ship could leave the ship. As we was going on another run to Malta. Well, we didn't know it was Malta, but we guessed it. We went into Aden and oiled up again, went through the Red Sea, stopped at Suez, oiled again, and went through the canal to Port Said. And from then on, we knew what was happening because all the dried peas, dried milk, everything was coming on board. And machinery parts, aircraft parts, they were all put on board.
This is at Port Said?
At Port Said, yeah.
So what happened next?
Well, we took off, and we was just off of Alex Alexander when four destroyers came out to meet us, our escort.
And when was this? Have you got any idea when this was? A bit vague on time. Doesn't say in here. 1942.
It was a few months before that, put it that way. It must have been about October, November, so this time, when it was happening. Yeah, we took off and then planes were seen astern of us. It turned out to be Italian. And we was getting ready to open fire when they veered away and went for the outside destroyer. And we see the shape of a torpedo dropped. It didn't hit or nothing. And they kept on going. We thought something was going to happen, like, but nothing happened. But the skipper, we're only like, what we were thinking on the mess deck. They give orders for the destroyers to about turn, as then two planes will report back to their base that there's a foray going to go on. There's five, six ships coming towards, but the four ships turn round and skipper walked the course, put his foot down, and away we went. And we got through to Malta unscathed this time. I mean, on the substance convoy, I meant to mention that.
Sorry?
I meant to mention the substance convoy before that. There was a convoy called the Substance. That was we was heavily bombarded on that.
That's later.
No, that was before. I missed that part. So it's just come to me.
When was that?
That was in 40. That was in 41. Beginning of 41.
Before you went to Mombasa and
yeah.
Well, tell us about that now. We'll put it in there now.
Well, it was a convoy going to Malta called the Substance.
What happened?
Well, the planes, we was attacked by German planes, Stukas, dive bombers. Everything was slung at us on that one.
What was it like?
Terrible. Shaking our shoes. Tough to describe it, you know, you're frightened, but you're shooting at the planes as much as you could. I don't know where. Don't know who, because all the fleet was opening up.
Was it difficult to pick on? I mean, real live targets rather than towed targets? And
well, they were very hard. Oh, no, towed targets were easy, but, planes, you get a Stuka that comes down straight, and they're dead straight, and then they take off at the last minute, and you've got to catch them in that last minute sort of thing. And they're dropping bombs, they're firing. It's very,
Did you reckon you hit anything, or could you just not tell?
Well, some of us hit them. I mean, there's so many of them, you just went from one to the other. You get 40 planes attacking the convoy, and all ships were firing. I mean, all shells were bursting. I might be knocked a couple anyway.
Anything else about substance?
No, I can't see much. We got through to Malta. We left the convoy. Half a day off of Malta when we left the convoy, because we got in before then.
Now, going back to 1942,
right,
you just got to Malta there. That's what
prompted. Oh, we got to Malta. Yeah, all the crowds were cheering again. Yeah. It's a wonderful feeling, you know, when you get to Malta, all them thousands of people cheering you as you are going to harbour. You know, we went alongside Frenchman's Creek, I think it was called, and unloaded. All the army and that come down, and what they pleased to see is, you know, the army and the navy chaps come down to unload us. And we had chat, you know, we talked with them and had chats with them. They were great to see some food arriving. But, we give children's parties in the bomb shelters, put our stuff ashore, all our chocolate and stuff like that, you know, ashore for the children.
What was it like, the children's boat? Did you go yourself?
No, I didn't go. A couple of us all made ourselves up with, you know, fancy dress and that to cheer the children up and that. No, I was on what's... Because we had a chap on, they could play the accordion and all that, you know, on the ship. So he went ashore and cheered the children up.
Now, one big thing, there was two merchant ships arrived from the convoy and you had to unload them. The dockers wouldn't unload it. Can you tell us about that?
Well, I've got the names for the two. One was a Trollius and another one. I don't think I put the names down there. I've got the names of it. I've got my diary.
All right.
The Trollius and another one. And, they refused the stevedores wouldn't unload it because... All they had on board was petrol, bombs, shells. And we were made into watches of 4 hours apiece to go on the jetty. I went on the jetty. Others went out on the boats to the merchant ships and unloaded them into the lighters. The lighters come ashore and we unloaded them onto the jetties there. Because we have bombs, petrol, everything was... And we're sitting on top of them when the plane's coming over, you know, bombing. They were bombing, and as luck, they were bombing the airfield again. But we see one load of our petrol that we loaded, 4 gallon cans, you know, we loaded them all up. That one out. When he came out, he said, yeah, look, there's your load of petrol going up. Well, please. And you're sitting there on bombs and everything, and the planes are coming over. Yeah, we unloaded that. And went out from there. And we left there, and we went into the... we didn't leave Malta, we went and picked the mines up in...
Now, there's a couple more things about that. You went to shore, and there's the thing about searching for beer and things like that.
Oh, yeah, down the gut, yeah.
How's about that?
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah. We climbed all over the rubble and everything. Eventually we found the gut, well known, and of course there's all bars down there. We managed to find a couple of them that were serving beer still, you know, and we got the beer. Because in the old days, they used to have lookouts. So when the fleet come in, the boys who found the first ship, like HMS Nelson, he ran back to the gut, to his favourite bar, and get paid for it by putting the name up over the bar, HMS Nelson. So when they came in, they would go to that bar. I never used to go. I used to go right down to the bottom to the Army and Navy. That was my favourite one. So I knew the woman and her husband, and they're very nice.
What was it like in the Army and Navy bar?
It was only a small bar, no bigger than this room. They had a little family affair, it was. But she was very affectionate with us, you know. Always kissing and cuddling us as we go in. I mean, I used to like that, being away from home. Yeah. It was a long walk down. It was right down the bottom of the gut. But yeah, I had other times. I went into the other places. There's a little stories in there. There's a couple of chaps called Bobby and Sugar, that's well known in the Navy. You'll hear about, I don't know if anybody else has told you about, a couple of little squat fellas they were, and they looked after us. But look, if you was in a fight, they would come and sort it out.
Was there a lot of fighting in the show?
Oh, you would always fight when you're drinking and that. All different bars, ship against ship and all that sort of thing, you know. It's a friendly fight. You know.
How serious was it?
No, I wasn't serious. A chap might get drunk and want to pick a woman up sort of thing, and the other one says no, and because it starts a rumpus. And his mates are going to go help him, and somebody else's mates are going. And so, yeah, I was quite a few taken aback, you know, lost their leave and all that. Of course, you had the MPs ashore, you know. You had the naval patrols and all that ashore. Yeah.
And were you had trouble with your eyes while you were there?
We couldn't understand that. We was me and another chap was detailed to go to the hospital. In Morgan, we got up there.
Had you had trouble with your eyes?
No, I was 66. Even on my records, it was 66 eyesight. But we don't know what it was for. Because this chap, doctor, come out, we was on the brain, they're waiting. He came and called us in. And looked at something on our, and all of a sudden, head back. And it really burnt our eyes out. It was terrible. No, you could hardly see. You come out to the sun, and we waited outside as long as we could, and so we better get back to the ship. And of course, the hospital was right in the middle of the island. So we walked down this road, and as luck had it, there was a horse and cart, like the Gary's there, and we pulled him up. And as luck had it, he was going into Valletta, into Valletta. So he's dumped us in the back amongst the vegetables and that he had. And we got down there and we called the ship up. They sent a livery boat out to pick us up. We went straight into the first aid and he washed our eyes out. Because it come back to normal, there was nothing wrong with my eyes, right?
So it was the inspection that caused, the medical that caused the problem, not anything wrong with it.
It was terrible. Well, it was burning their eyes out, both of us, you know. I mean, the next day we're back on our guns, so I couldn't see why that.
Now, you left Malta, and this is where you were
talking? No, we hadn't left Malta. We went round to the torpedo depot in Malta and picked up mines. I picked up a load of mines that was there. We didn't know what they were for, but we found out afterwards. We took off from there, went across towards North Africa, and we was just off of Libya. And we started to do a mine lay there, off of Libya. As soon as we finished the mine, we took off. I don't think we was doing a faster than we normally do. I thought we was a bit safe, I think. I don't know if we did, but that was in our opinion. I doubt we was doing about 28 knots.
And all still sudden, pretty fast.
Well, yeah.
But not for the Manx.
Not for the Manx, no, because we cruise about 40. Yeah. Now, and all of a sudden, smack, wallop. Bang, come a torpedo.
Now, do you know the date?
Yeah, I didn't know. Yeah. 1st of December.
1942.
When we torpedoed, yeah.
And whereabouts were you? Still off Libya?
Just off Libya, yeah.
And what happened? Where were you? What exactly happened?
I was off watch at the time. I was down. My locker was low down, and I was just pulling a drawer out of me. I went the torpedo ahead. It threw me and the locker against the bulkhead. Straight across, I hit the bulkhead. I jumped up. Everybody's making a rush for the upper deck. I managed to get through before they closed watertight doors.
How close was that?
Very close. I think they shut it down not very long after. A lot of people were shut in down there, you know. But we got up, I got up on deck, and the greatest ship was gradually tipping over. Clinging, and I managed to get down to my gun, which was right down on, I'd been changed, and I was on the starboard side then, right aft, underneath the crane.
So you went to your action stations on the gun?
I went to action stations, yeah.
What happened then?
Well, I got tired in the action. I was watching towards the bridge what was happening. One of our seamen had got blown, you know, quite a way behind in the sea. They got a motorboat down, went and picked him up, brought him back. In the meantime, the gunnery officer had got a depth charge out. Put it in the first motorboat, and before they took off, the captain ordered all guns that can open fire, open fire. So we all started opening fire with our guns. My guns were in 10 foot from the ship because I couldn't lever it up because we were right over at the time. I put 40 degrees, but it wasn't 40 degrees, about 20 degrees. I exaggerated it, I think. But we went over about 20 degrees, and that's right over. And I'm looking down into the water because I'm firing, my shells were hitting the water and bouncing across the horizon. The 4-inch was far up in the air. Every gun, I think this idea of the time was a skipper to keep the sub down. Letting them think that we were still sort of on top of the world. We wasn't, because he could have come up and just sunk us, because the ship's right over, all our guns are up there. The port side was bare.
So it could have come up and sunk you with its gun?
With shells, yeah.
Or could have torpedoed you again, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, we think he must have been out of last torpedo or something. He fired two torpedoes, one went astern and one hit us in the engine room. The motorboat went round and dropped the deck charge, sped away. He only done it once, to let them know that we're still sort of active, like. He was just laid there, waiting for something to happen. Because darkness was coming, and we're all still at access station. It was getting very cold. So I said to my understudy, I said, listen out for any orders. I'm going to try and get down below, which was a silly thing to do at the time, but you didn't realise, you know. But as luck had it, I went up there, and one of the manholes were open, that I could get down to my mess deck. So I shot down quick, and I see all me, as a quick, I see me locker there, all my stuff all on the floor there. I scrambled all my stuff, I pushed it back in my locker, locked it up, I don't know why, it was automatic. Grabbed a Mac and back up and put me back. Yeah, it was something, it was really cold up there.
Now, you just saw the ship was just still. Was it still listed at 20 degrees, or was it getting worse?
Oh, yes. No. It settled. It settled about 20 degrees. You know, it's right over. And we're just waiting. And because in that time then, there was radio silence on in the maddening days, because the Germans picking it out. But I think the skipper broke silence, and two destroyers came out. We're sitting all of a sudden, we reported a light on the starboard side, and it was a Pathfinder and another, I forget the name of the other one, Pathfinder and another ship, destroyer. One took us in tow, Pathfinder took us in tow, and the other one put grappling hooks to try and pull us down. Tried to pull this ship down, yeah, level us a bit. Didn't pull this bright back, but he steadied the slide alongside, and the Pathfinder towed us.
And
towed us into Iran.
So what was the journey like? Do you think you were going to make it?
Well, thinking about it now, I don't think we didn't think at the time. We were so pleased to see the destroyers there. I mean, if we had to jump over, the destroyers were there to pick us up. Because the captain had put all the Carly rafts and everything astern, ready in case we sank. But we was lucky. It didn't get as far as the mining deck. It got the mining deck. It's like the Welshman got to a mining deck, she sank.
It's just a big open space. So.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, 74 hour and 30 foot above and 40 foot under, yeah. All the engines fell out, sort of thing.
So, what happened when you got to? You went to Iran. What happened when you got there?
Well, we got into Iran. We started shifting everything we could below decks onto the port side to try and bring us up. There's a nice photo I done of the ship when it was being towed over to Gibraltar. We brought it all up. But we couldn't have nothing done there because. You weren't allowed to stop in Iran, so we understood, for a day or two or whatever it was. But they sent across to Gibraltar, and four tugs came out. In the meantime, we buried our dead.
What do you remember of that? Because that's quite a...
Oh, very sad.
What happened?
Well, they were taken out boat, a catamaran out into the sea, like, and they were buried out at sea.
Sea burial?
Yeah, sea burial. They were the stokers. They had to go, the chief stoker went down and got them out of the water, like, and brought them out. They were buried there. From then on, we was towed across to Gibraltar.
Was there any trouble with it? I mean, had they patched the hole of it?
No, we couldn't do nothing about the hole, not until we got across to Gibraltar.
Wasn't it a pretty risky trip, then?
Well, it's not far away, Gibraltar, was it? It's like a stone's throw away, and the tugs were there to tow us. I mean, and we'd come up of the angle, we'd come up, say, maybe 10 degrees or so, so we was floatable, like. I don't mean the skipper had any worries about that. Yeah, we went into Juba, and they put us at the boys in the centre of the harbour there, and we had to wait till a time come up that we can get into the dock, because there was couple of linemen and that in at the time being repaired, that have been in convoys. And then we had a sheet put down, arm plating put down, to below water line. So the water was still in the ship. It's water line, but it's still in the ship. And from then, we left. There was a convoy made up to come to England. All the stokers and that were put ashore for release on other ships. All the personnel that wasn't required was put ashore. And us, guns crews and that, were kept on board. And they got a ocean-going tug to tow us all the way to England. An ocean going down. We was put on the back of the convoy as like an ACAC ship. I mean, we couldn't have moved or anything. We had to rely on the tug all the way.
What do you remember of that trip?
Very tedious, and you're on watch all the time. I mean, you couldn't relax because of you was getting in the enemy territory, and we had to come up, and we was a sitting target, really. We couldn't move under our own steam, and we had to rely on the tow towing us.
Was the convoy attacked at all?
No, there's They had warnings that submarines were in the area and that, but we wouldn't attack. But as that, when we got near, like towards West Bay, our planes come out and they covered us. And he towed us right the way up to South Shields.